Morning. Good morning. You guys are awake. Let's pray. Father, just give you thanks for this day, Lord, and for this time we can come together and learn of you, Lord. I pray that you'd open our eyes and open our ears to hear wonderful things from your law, from your word, and I just pray that you'd speak to us and encourage us to walk with you and to seek your face day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. The thing that's been on my heart the past little while is he who overcomes, being an overcomer. So I've been, you know, just looking at different verses about that and listening to, you know, different messages. And one of the messages that I listened to, there's a few things that really spoke to me, and something I hadn't seen before in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to start there. In verse 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the God of this age comes to blind people, and he wants to blind us from seeing the gospel of the glory of Christ. And I hadn't seen that in that light before. Is there's the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. There's the gospel of the glory of Christ. What is that? Just ponder that in your mind. What is the gospel of the glory of Christ? We understand the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. But we can see, I think in 1 Corinthians 4. Oh, wait, it's not there. Say again. Oh, yeah, right before it. Right before it says in verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's the gospel of the glory of Christ. Being changed into the same image from glory to glory. Being changed into Christ. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 7, a very common passage that we've read many times, and I believe someone shared on this not too distant past here, but in verse 13, in Matthew 7, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now we see there's two things. There's the narrow gate, and then there's the difficult, constraining, confined, or narrow way. So you see, there's a gate and a way. And I hadn't necessarily thought of these two things separately, but they are. There's the gate. Is how do we enter into the gate? Well, to repent and believe through the blood of Jesus, we enter into that narrow gate. But then there is a difficult way. And the way is the gospel of the glory of Christ, being changed into the image of God through an overcoming life, walking an overcoming life. He who overcomes. So there's the gate, but it doesn't end there. That's the beginning. That's to get onto the way, and we have to keep walking that way and to be an overcomer and a fragrance of life. Just as it says, thank God through Christ who always gives us the triumph, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. He'll always give us the victory. So what does it mean to overcome? It means to conquer. It means to prevail or get the victory. So of Christians that hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. And I like to separate that. Persecutions and temptations. So I want to turn to 1 John chapter 5. So we can keep those two things in mind about the narrow gate and the narrow way. Forgiveness of sins and being an overcomer, walking an overcoming life. So 1 John chapter 5. I'll start in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. That means whoever loves the Father or Jesus also loves the children of God, also loves the people who have been begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If we're born of God, we're overcoming the world. And how does that start? This is the victory, our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to start there. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now it says in 1 John 4 verse 4, just back a little bit there, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So it starts in faith. We have to believe, right, that Jesus is Son of God. But what happens once we believe? Now it says you have overcome them. And here he's talking about those who have the spirit of Antichrist, those with a different spirit. We've overcome them. Why? Because he who is in us is greater than he that's in the world. So there's another truth here. That when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we receive the Spirit of Christ. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So we have to have the Spirit of Christ to be his. Whenever we are a child of God, we get the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. We get the Holy Spirit. And now that Holy Spirit is greater than he that's in the world. That's encouraging. That's how we become an overcomer, because we have that greater spirit in us. And you can see what that greater spirit does in Luke chapter 11. There's a lot of, there's two different spirits. There's the Holy Spirit and the spirit that's in the world, but there's also evil spirits that operate under the spirit that's in the world. And, they're called demon spirits. Look in Luke chapter 11, and verse 20, let's say, starting 20, Luke 11, 20. If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who is not who does not gather with me scatters. So in this passage, Jesus is casting out demons, and they're accusing him that he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, by Satan. And Jesus is saying, you know what? When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are at peace. But when one stronger than him comes, Jesus is saying, you know what? I have come. I'm stronger than Satan. And that lines up with that passage in 1 John 4. You know, he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. We need to believe that. We need to believe that he who is greater abides in us when we have the Spirit of Christ, when we have the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to live a defeated life. We don't have to be defeated by sin and temptation and death. We don't need to be overcome by lusts and covetousness and grumbling and complaining. He who overcomes. You know, what's the theme in Revelation in the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3? There's a theme there. He's talking to the churches. It's the churches. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to the churches. And he says to five of the churches, he says, repent. And to all seven, he says, he who overcomes. He who overcomes, you know, he shall eat from the tree of life. He who overcomes, he shall be a pillar in the temple of God. He who overcomes. But there was people in the church that needed to repent of various things, whether it was the loss of first love, whether it was their lukewarm. I just want to look at that in Revelation 3, of the lukewarm church, specifically. I mean, the last book of the Bible, an exhortation to the seven churches. We can apply that to the church, right? There are specific exhortations for each church. But we need to look inward. You know, are we lukewarm? It says here in chapter 3, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, you have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. There it is. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Where is Christ? Where is Christ in this church? He's outside the door. He's knocking. Now, even though it says he's exhorting them, a strong exhortation that they're lukewarm and that he would vomit them out of his mouth. It's very serious to be lukewarm. Just to be kind of holding the hand of the world and holding the hand of God. You know, that's called adultery in James chapter 4. Can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. That's lukewarmness. You know, he says, you know, you profess me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. That's lukewarmness. Professing with your lips. This is the amazing part here. If anyone will open the door, I will come into him and dine with him. To him who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Did you know Jesus was an overcomer? If we overcome as he also overcame, he was a forerunner. It says he's a forerunner. So he also overcame, so that's why we can overcome. Because he foreran, and now we can also be a child of God through his Holy Spirit and receive the gospel of the glory of Christ and become like him and be changed and be transfigured into his very image from glory to glory through faith. You know, when Jesus says in these seven churches, repent, he's giving them an opportunity. He always gives an opportunity to repent. And you know what happens? You know what happens when we repent? Kids, I ask you a question. Listen up, kids. Have you ever heard of a time in the Bible when God ran? Have you ever seen God run in the Bible? Let's read it. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, there was a son who spent everything and wasted everything his father gave him. And he was there feeding the pigs, and he just desired to eat the pig's food. And he came to his senses one day, and he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. There's a song, I think it's by Phillips Craig Dean. It's called When God Ran. You should listen to it. It could bring tears to your eyes. That's when God runs. If we just show a little humility and turn and start in that direction and say, I'm coming back to him. And he was waiting and watching. And he saw him from a great way off. And then it's like him opening the door, you know, and Jesus was there to come in. Immediately he ran. That's the God who we serve. One who runs to the one who humbles himself and says, I want to go back to my father. I'm sorry for what I've done. I've wasted my life. I've wasted my possessions. So that is when God ran. So remember that, kids. God will run to you. If you turn to him, he'll always run to you and receive you. So let's look in Matthew or John chapter 16. Before I read that, when I was younger, let's say maybe 16, 17 years old, I was trying to figure out where I was going to go to church and so on. And so I decided I wanted to go to a church where my friends were going. And I was attracted to that place because there was lots of different programs and, the band was good. And, I liked the music and I liked that it was really big. So I could kind of go in and just kind of sit in the back and I could socialize and it was more so about friends and people. And then I could go and I could just kind of do my thing. I could still live in sin and not have any conviction. I wasn't listening too much to what they're sharing. But I would listen when they would bring in a skit or whatever. And all of a sudden people would run down the aisle. And all of a sudden it would be some funny thing. And it would catch my attention and I'd be entertained by that. So I was more concerned with entertainment and music and friends than I was about the Word of God. About the truth. What should we be looking for in a fellowship, in a body, in a church? What is the most important things? We should be looking for the truth. Do they speak the truth? Do they preach against sin? Do they preach repentance? Do they preach making disciples that we should become like Christ and live a new covenant life where we're overcomers and that there's hope? The most important thing is that the truth is spoken, that they hate sin and they love righteousness. And when the gospel is preached like that, you're going to find people like this. Look at this in, let me see if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy. 2nd Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, starting verse 22. This is very important. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So, when the truth is spoken, there's going to be people there that are going to be fleeing youthful lusts, pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So that's important, that we're with those types of people. You know, I wasn't concerned about finding those types of people where I was. I wanted to have fun, and I wanted to have maybe relationships, and so on. That was my desire, not to find those who I could call in the name of the Lord with. Wherever we call home, our home fellowship, we should be finding those people. We should be one of those people who are overcoming, where the truth is spoken, where you're being encouraged to turn away from sin every week and to follow Jesus and to not be complacent and to exhort one another day by day. You should find those types of people in your life who exhort us day by day, encourage us to walk with Christ and to cast off every weight and sin that can so easily ensnare us. Not like me when I was young. Young people, don't be like I was. You sow a lot to the flesh and you reap corruption. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. That's a law of gravity. If you sow thorns, you're going to reap thorns. And I can say, I sow to this day. I reap to this day the things that I've sown. I mean, I reap, you know. So don't sow to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit to reap everlasting life. That is so important. So John 16. John 16. These things, in verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, I thought about this more plainly in the past little week or so. What is the world that Jesus overcame? You know how it says in Revelation 3, we just read, like, he overcomes as I also overcame. What did he overcome? Did he overcome persecutions? He didn't overcome those. I mean, he was put to death by the Roman soldiers. He didn't overcome the physical. He was whipped. He overcame the world. This is the world he overcame. John chapter 1 John chapter 2. As Jesus overcame the world, we can overcome the world. 1 John chapter 2. This is the world that Jesus overcame. Verse 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the world that Jesus overcame. So what is the lust of the flesh? Can someone yell, what is the lust of the flesh? Anyone? Craving physical pleasures. Yeah. Pleasures. How about the lust of the eyes? Craving for everything you see. So it's not just, you know, sometimes you can think, okay, lust of the eyes, just lusting after a person. No. That's one thing. It's lusting for everything you see. You see that someone's got a nice coat on, you want that coat. You see something in the store hanging there, you really desire and crave that thing that's hanging there. Right? It can be a lust, a covetousness, a desire for everything you see. And the pride of life. The pride of life, some things that can make you offended, things that can make you bitter. Right? You want to just move your way up to have authority over somebody. But these are the things Jesus overcame, and we also are to overcome. You know, as he says there, I lost my spot here in John 16. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay, as I read right at the beginning, overcoming tribulation and also overcoming temptations or persecutions. Now, we can say, okay, when in the end we're going to be, maybe there's going to be some serious persecution. It says there's going to be. And there's going to be tests. But you can say, I'll never deny Christ. You know, if there's a test and I have to deny Christ to save my physical life, I would never deny Christ. But what about, are we denying him by being overcome with sin right now? If we're not overcoming the temptations and the tests now, how are we going to overcome the physical tests later when they come? We need to overcome now in the inner man so that when the tests are coming, when there's physical tests and persecutions, because those are going to come to kind of separate those who are really serious and those who are not serious. And so now is the time. There's a brother said this, you know, he was in the Navy or so on, and they used to say this, the more you sweat in peace, the less you will bleed in war. That's interesting. The more you sweat in peace, so when there's times of peace and you're training and you're getting ready, right? So now, spiritually, we're training, we're overcoming the inner tests and battles and things in our mind, in our heart, then the less we're going to bleed in war when there's going to be actually physical persecutions. We won't forsake Christ. We need to be ready now. And that's how we can be ready. So I'm just going to finish off with a couple ways how we can be overcomers. Okay, so some practical things. 1 John chapter 2. He's writing to children, and he's writing to young men, and he's writing to fathers. Okay, so it's three spiritual states: children, young men, fathers. Now, I'm not going to read verse 12 to 14. I'm just going to summarize this point here. It says that children, their sins are forgiven them, and they know the Father. Okay, so those are the aspects of children. Their sins are forgiven. They know the Father. Young men, it says that you have overcome the wicked one. You are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Okay, it says that twice. Fathers, you've known him who's from the beginning. Fathers, they know Jesus. Okay? So the children, it's like their sins are forgiven. The young men, you have overcome the wicked one. So you can see those, like we talked about, the narrow gate. Your sins are forgiven. You're a child. But as you start walking the narrow way, and you start to overcome, you become a young man. You become a young, you know, a young woman, a young man. And the way you start to overcome, it says the word of God abides in you. Okay, that's the principle I wanted to say. As a young man, you're overcoming the wicked one, and because the word of God is abiding in you. You got to get the word of God. We have to get the word of God in us. We need that. That's how we can start to overcome. We know it's faith. We talked about faith. And through faith, believing Jesus is the Son of God, we receive the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, which is greater than he that's in the world. And we feed the Spirit through the Word of God. Okay, feeding on the Word. And become strong. And then in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about how we overcome the accuser, how we overcome Satan. And I want to say this, how we overcome the world, how we become an overcomer. It gives a couple principles. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Okay. How do we overcome Satan, the accuser, and the world? Well, it starts with the blood of the Lamb. That's how we become a child. Your sins are forgiven you. And by the word of their testimony, confess with their mouth. Confess to Satan, you've been defeated at the cross. You've been defeated. I'm not a slave any longer. And they did not love their lives to the death. The wording there could be a little bit tricky to understand. What does it mean to not love your life to the death? It means that you're not saving your self-life. You're not saving your will. You're picking up your cross. And it says that those who are his disciples, they pick up their cross daily and follow him. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to pick up our cross daily. That means denying ourselves, denying those cravings, those lusts, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride. And that's how we're going to overcome Satan, the accuser. That's how we're going to overcome in this world. You know, Jesus, he overcame. And I think there's an important part that says, you know, when he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Where he says, you know, I've spoken these things that you might have peace. You know, in Colossians 3, I think in 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Right? So there's a peace of God that's supposed to rule in our hearts. And the word rule is like referee or umpire. And so the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Spirit of Christ, it's like a referee and an umpire in our hearts, leading us. And so if we go this direction, there's a voice behind us saying, no, this is the way, walk in it. Or if we're tempted in this way, then the voice says, no, I've turned to the right here. This is the way, walk in it. And through the Holy Spirit guiding us like a referee or an umpire, giving us guidance, we can keep and have peace in our life. If we go astray and go this way, we will lose our peace. And when we lose our peace, I heard this example, you look in water and you can see your face reflection, but when the water is really wavy, you can't see your face. So we need peace in order to see the face of God, in order to see God clearly. And I love this, you know, in, I think it's Deuteronomy 8, it says, he fed them with manna, that they should learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The only way for man to live is by hearing the word of the Lord, not by food. We think, I got to have food. Food is the number one thing I got to have to live. That's naturally speaking. The number one way for us to live spiritually is to hear the voice of God. We have to hear his voice. And so in order to hear his voice, we need to be still and know that he is God, to still our minds and our hearts and to listen and to spend time listening to him, to be led by the Spirit so that we have peace in our heart, because when we're at peace, we can hear clearly. So it's very important to know that man doesn't live by bread alone, because they were fed with manna every day and many were scattered in the wilderness. Because they wouldn't hear the voice of the Lord. That's what we need. We need to hear his voice. We need to hear him. So I want to leave us with that. With that encouragement. Let's be a bride who is overcoming the tests and the trials. And it's not just about physical persecution. It's about overcoming the world that wants to come in and creep into our life, into our heart. That's the world. And Jesus overcame. We have someone who overcame, who went before us, and who experienced, it says he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And so we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize with us. So let's take those exhortations and to listen to what he said to the seven churches, you know, repent. If there's areas in our lives that we need to repent, repent. He'll open the door and open the door and he'll come in. He'll run to us because he loves us and he wants fellowship with us. Amen.